Manchester United almost bottle a three-goal lead as they scrape past Coventry.
Manchester United with a reprieve right at the last. Oh, by Ben Sheep. Rasmus Højlund. Send United through, and he's done it!
Consecutive Manchester Derby FA Cup finals as Chelsea lose to Manchester City.
Bernardo Silva scores! Bernardo Silva puts City in front! 6.5 minutes to go!
Nottingham Forest absolutely lose their head over some VAR decisions. But do they have a point? Hello guys, welcome back to the Board Drop Podcast, episode number 94. And today's going to be a very ranty episode, I feel. After a weekend of FA Cup magic?
Magic. And the cheeky bastards. Oh no, it's too early to swear.
100%.
The cheeky bastards at the top of the pyramid just want to ruin the magic for everyone.
Let me just start with this, yeah?
Go on, hit them, Luke.
The FA Cup used to be the centrepiece of English football.
The oldest club
domestic
tournament.
Competition in the world. Yeah, 100%. It used to be magical. Like, the FA Cup used to be like an event for the day. The FA Cup final. You used to watch the teams leave wherever they were staying on the buses. The buses, you just follow the buses round on the news. It used to be great. It used to be like a whole day of build up. Now it's just a little thing that signals the end of the season. And people have been questioning for the last 3-4 years as the FA Cup lost its magic. I tell you now, those fucking wankers in charge of English football have ripped any last bit of magic out of that FA Cup. They've ruined the greatest domestic competition in the world.
So we're talking about the decision to remove FA Cup replays and the repercussions being clubs lower down the pyramid obviously losing income if a match was to be hosted at their stadium. Or
all for the benefit of scheduling for the Big Six. So was it the FA who released a statement saying...
Off the back of the slander,
off the back of slander saying that...
I think, what was it? Tranmere released a statement saying, like,
well,
we did not...
the FA released a statement regarding saying, the FA Cup saying that they were scrapping replays from, like, the third round onwards, I think.
And then somewhere in that statement, it said, like, we've had discussions with clubs up and down the pyramid and we've arrived at this decision. And then
the
loads
EFL,
of clubs, but the one
EFL,
that I saw...
Yeah, Tranmere came
Tranmere
up first.
Tranmere came in and said, we weren't agreeing with this decision... loads of clubs around us also don't agree with this decision.
Well, no one in the other 72 were directly consulted, and the EFL come out and made a statement about it saying that the clubs weren't directly consulted as well,
which is mental. And then so the FA came back out and released another statement saying we have been consulting, blah blah blah. It's all an absolute farce.
Yeah, but this is absolutely ridiculous. You are the governing body of English football, the home of football, and you can't even sort it out. Get your eggs in one basket. You don't know what's going on. It's ridiculous. And how they came to this decision...
Can't organise a piss up in a brewery.
How they came to the decision is clear as day to me. They went to the Premier League teams. Premier League teams voted on it, and they voted clearly for no cup replays because it doesn't really benefit them. It's an extra game in the calendar that they don't really need.
100%.
As if they fail to beat a lower league team or any team in 90 minutes.
It's pathetic, It's their prerogative if they put out kids and then don't get the job done.
100%.
How many shoddy
good players have been uncovered by the beauty of the FA Cup?
Mate.
By and being forced into the first team. It's the chance for big teams to give players in their academy, in their under-21 setup, in their under-23s, a go.
It's almost ironic that off the back of that, the FA Cup produced one of the best FA Cup games probably ever.
Yeah, 100%.
In Manchester United versus Coventry, which we'll talk about in a second.
And so what's ridiculous to me is that they've taken away replays which have so much value to teams lower down in the pyramid. They generate so much income for them. It's easy to forget when you think talking about £20 million being not a lot for a player transfer these days. But there's clubs who run off less than £100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And these are the clubs that you're taking away replays from. Even a team like I don't know, Maidstone, they had a tremendous competition this year. And those games against, Wolves? Middlesbrough? I can't remember who they played.
But even like Man United before the round prior to this, they had Newport County.
Yeah.
Team very near the bottom of the pyramid.
But replays, just, you know, that extra game. If you manage to take a Liverpool to a replay and you get it either at home or away, it's massive, massive. And the fact the FA didn't even come out and say, look, all gate receipts from games against teams below this threshold will go towards to them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, teams in the Championship and below, above, shouldn't have any of the gate receipts for teams in like non-league or League 2.
No,
probably.
It's mental. And they were so vague in their statement, the FA. They were like, we've discussed kind of redistribution of finances. That doesn't mean anything. I'm sure you have discussed redistribution of finances, but unless you clearly outline what this redistribution means for lower league teams, you're just chatting waffle, mate.
Teams like Newport County, it's difficult because they say, well, you could say, right, so the lower seeded teams will always get the home leg.
Yeah.
But then again, you're denying players from Newport County the chance to play at Old Trafford.
And then, like, how do you facilitate that as well? Because then what if two lower league teams pull each other, or it's just like, yeah, it's mental.
All they've done is mess with things that didn't need to be messed with. And the whole excuse of it, the schedule being too hectic. Mate, you're going out to, like, China in the US pre-season and playing, like, 12 games in pre-season. It's ridiculous. You're playing in the FIFA Club World Cup during the course of the season.
Like, no, you know, I have zero sympathy. The squads are bigger. The resources are bigger at bigger clubs. Rehab's better. All that rubbish. So they can't be complaining. And I know there's the whole kind of narrative, oh, they earn enough money, they can do football six times a week. And I don't kind of agree with that to a sense. But they earn enough money. The big clubs earn enough money. The big clubs have big enough squads to
they
rotate
properly.
They spend
enough money on bringing in personnel so they can rotate that they can afford to do
exactly.
So.
Exactly. Like,
and I'm
no
not being funny
yet,
but if you do not beat a lower league team in 90 minutes as a Premier League team, and you are forced to go to a replay, that is no one's fault but your own. You had all the resources and all the facilities in the world to do so, and you fucked it. And now all you're doing is taking it away from those clubs. And it's ridiculous and it's embarrassing. And it ruins everything that English football stands for. Our grassroots, all the way up through the pyramid, is what makes this country's football so great.
100%.
So brilliant. All the players who we support every time we go to the Euros and the World Cup, half of them come through the English Football League.
System, yeah.
And all of them, I bet, played for grassroots clubs.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's not be stupid here, because all we're doing is taking money out of grassroots, and it's ridiculous, and it's embarrassing, and it just goes to show how out of touch the people at the top are, and probably to a lesser extent the Big Six.
No, 100%.
Because those are the teams that you should be, that whose fans pay money week in week out, and their kids are the ones who are going to suffer.
100%. It's exactly that. You hit the nail on the head. They're just out of touch. I don't know who's making the decisions at the FA and who's making the decisions at the Big Six, but I can bet a fucking shitload on it that it's just businessmen rather than footballers.
Do we need some sort of fan board with a number of fans from each of the clubs of the 72 or the 92, sorry?
Yeah.
And they're the ones who have an impact on the vote.
Because it's all business. It's all about getting those television deals, as many games on TV as possible. It's about making sure the Big Six get as many games on TV as possible, and that they're playing, all the best star players are there. That's probably what they don't want players, big teams, big six teams rotating, because you get less of the stars on the pitch at each time. So, I don't know. It's exactly what you said. They're out of touch.
For me, bring back the Super League.
Oh, come on.
Bring it back, because I'm sick and tired of these fucking teams at the top of the country, just dictating everything else. Dictate everything else. I bet English football would be so much fucking better off without those fucking wanky teams dictating everything. And it would be a shame. But let them go play Barcelona every week. Yeah. Didn't see how tired they get when they've got to travel to Barcelona, and they've got to go to Munich, and then they've got to go to Milan.
You're spitting.
Yeah, mate, let them do it. Let them do it. And then I'll come crawling back.
Right, how's this for a segue? You mentioned if you're a big team and you can't get over the line in 90 minutes against a lower league team, then it's on you. Well, that was the story of Man United versus Coventry. A big, big team.
Man United
putting
out a strong lineup, which you should do in an FA Cup semi-final.
Coventry, I think, only their second ever visit to Wembley.
No, they got there in the playoffs last
year. Oh, FA Cup visit to Wembley.
Yeah, I think since like 84 or
something like that. But absolute scenes in this game. And
well, Man United started off really well.
Yeah, it wasn't
Source getting on the score sheet early. Harry
it
Maguire.
Wasn't clear to see how this comeback was going to happen, because at 3-0, Man United were flying. Obviously, like you said, started the game. They scored three goals at like perfect times in the game. Right at the start. Coventry probably looking to start fast, get a cheeky goal, scare Man United. Man United bosh off the mark.
Then
goal.
Halfway through the half, they're thinking probably, let's just get into half-time at 1-0.
Yeah, Coventry, yeah. Exactly that. Coventry are thinking, if we get to 1-0, half-time, happy days, we can come back and say, bosh, goal just before half-time.
Harry Maggs. I liked he was quite adventurous this game.
Yes, he was. He was actually quite good.
Maybe to the detriment of the team.
And then half-time happens. They come out, half-time, Coventry are like, nothing to lose. Let's just give it our all. Bosh, Man United score again.
That's literally what you want to do. Like, you know Coventry are going to come out hard and fast to start the second half, and you just shut that down instantly with a goal. Perfect.
So you're thinking, Man U, something we haven't said about them all season is a very professional, dominant performance.
Yeah, and this is where you look to your captain, your manager, your experienced players to settle it all down. We're going to see out the game now.
3-0.
Don't give them a sniff. Just see it out. Boring, easy. Boring football. That's fine.
Totally fine. You've done your job.
That is game management to a T. Be professional. Sort it out. See it out.
But no.
They've done all the hard work.
Classic Man United. I tweeted just... I think it was just as Coventry got their first goal with the Sims. I was like, Man United, don't do anything stupid now. And then they conceded another one, and I was like, they're going to do something stupid.
Yeah, Ellis Sims, he gets it on the turn. It's a great finish.
Yeah,
Ellis Sims, a player on fire at the minute. He's probably not performed as well as everyone thought he would coming into Coventry this season after what was a fairly hefty price tag. But at the end of the season, he's absolutely on fire. Absolutely
at the right
scorching
time, yeah.
Hot. And then, yeah, Callum O'Hare with a great little...
deflected shot, yeah.
Callum O'Hare, who I called out in our combined 11. Great player. Really great.
Talking about our combined 11 before we finish on the game, me and Luke put up a combined 11 on TikTok. Coventry and Man United combined 11. And we got heaters.
Hounded for having more Coventry players than United players.
Man United fans are in the comments like, these guys don't know ball. How can a big Man United team have four players and Coventry have six or seven players? And I was like, shut your mouth. Watch how you flop this game.
And to be honest, you might have come out victorious, but you weren't the winners.
No, you might have won the game, but you have lost the war. But yeah, anyway.
Man United made some dodgy substitutions. Manu got a natural off. Lost a lot of energy.
A lot of energy and brought on zero energy and zero kind of authority on the pitch. You brought in Anthony,
who
is genuinely terrible, and we will talk about him a bit more later. And Eriksen, who is genuinely running on fumes these days. Like, how is he still playing? He's about 45 years old. He's died on the pitch. He should not be playing semi-final football against a team. Also, terrible kind of game management from Ten Hag. I know he's got that kind of... Eriksen's got that capability to slow down the game and dictate tempo.
But when was the last time he done that?
And you've got a Coventry team that are in the ascendancy, absolutely nothing to lose, playing out of their skins, full of energy, and you bring on a guy that's 45 and got a heart that's...
I mean, he won't even get to the pace of the game when he starts, let alone when he comes on and the game's at a furious pace.
Exactly.
Ridiculous. And then we had it late on. It's a handball shout against Aaron Wan-Bissaka. It's harsh, but you know why they're giving it. His arm's out there. Whilst it probably is natural for it to be out there, it's out of the body silhouette. It stops the ball going across the box. For me, it's a penalty.
Yeah.
And that is what it is. Hadji Wright steps up and he looks confident.
I like Hadji Wright.
Yeah. And it puts it away. And the comeback is complete. You never thought you could see it.
Absolute scenes.
And it was beautiful.
Everyone on planet Earth was a Coventry fan at that moment.
Yeah.
Even I saw Man United fans. Do you know like that Saeed guy?
Oh, mate.
Even Man United fans are like so bitter about their club at the moment. They were cheering Coventry on. They were like, let's lose this game because if we lose, Ten Hag will get sacked. So you got Man United fans at some point that were backing their team to lose. And then, yeah. When was it? Extra time.
Yeah, it was an extra time. I had to go.
Yeah, did they get
back up? Because
I think it was like right at the end of extra time, like the 120th minute,
like the 119th minute or something. Yeah. Right at the end of extra time, and Man United had been pretty dominant throughout extra time. I think they hit the underside of the crossbar from Bruno.
Yeah, yeah.
Harry Maguire had like a shot, sort of like punched out from a strange angle. There was a few opportunities, and
to be fair, I think Coventry hit the bar in extra time as well.
Yeah, so there was a lot. Hadji Wright had one just go wide of the post.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
119th minute
scores in the 119th minute.
Well, you see, just before that as well, he caught a volley on the edge of the area.
Yeah, that was
so naughty.
But it was right at Onana. The technique, mate, it was brilliant. He rifled it. When you catch a volley like that, you're hoping that the natural swerve takes it one way or the other.
If he scored that volley to win the game, I would have taken my top off.
He almost caught it too clean.
Oh, mate,
like, he caught it so clean that it just went direct like a bullet.
Anyway.
But, yeah. So, there's a beautiful ball played through to Haji Wright. And what has VAR done?
Well, it's an interesting one, is it? Obviously, so they go on and score. He puts it across to Victor Torp. And he just puts it in from close range. But they pull up VAR, and the line, I'll get it up on the screen for you, is so unbelievably tight. And obviously, they do the lines and it says he's offside. And now this raises the discussion, because all I saw on the timeline was VAR's ruining football, blah, blah, blah. VAR's losing the magic of the game. VAR has ruined this magical Coventry story. The comeback's ruined, blah, blah, blah. And while I do get that, and I totally agree VAR is ruining football, we can't, just because it's against Man United and it would be funny, just allow the goal. I've seen people say, oh, it was so tight that you've just got to allow the goal for the story. You can't do that, because then you're just fucking throwing the rule book in the bin for a game. And I saw a great tweet where it was like, if it was the other way round and Man United were through on goal and it was super close offside and they scored and it got disallowed, everyone would find that funny that it got disallowed. But because it's the story of Coventry doing the comeback, people want it to be allowed.
I agree, but I think that it brings in a lot into question.
Talk to me.
Because even with the lines, it's not definitive.
Mm.
The lines aren't definitive.
Mm.
They haven't drawn like distance from, you know, like the actual lines on the pitch, yeah, like the segments of the pitch. They haven't drawn like a line to show you the distance between that. So that line could be wonky. Like, how do you?
I always think that about the lines.
The lines need some sort of like, they need some more information on there to prove it.
Yeah.
Also, when the line goes over Aaron Wan-Bissaka's foot, and then under Haji Wright's. Also, who is to say when the ball has left the foot of the player who plays the ball?
Facts.
Because the frame rate on the cameras is not it's not fast enough to be able to decipher that, because they use commercial cameras. So you're telling me at the stadium, maybe the most famous football stadium in the world, the home of English football, and we do not have the capabilities to tell when the ball has left the foot. The technology is not there to make these decisions. VAR was brought in for what? To overturn
clear and obvious
errors.
That's so true, yeah.
And it was... The offside rule as well states...
The Lino that, didn't give it offside, did it? They gave
no,
it a goal.
No, they gave the goal. It got overturned.
Yeah, first.
But... So the on-field decision for me should have stood, because not clear and obvious at all.
Totally agree, yeah.
And in the offside rules actually dictate that an offside is when the attacker is gaining a clear advantage from being in an offensive position.
When, if anything, Haji Wright was, his direction of travel was going back towards his own goal rather than going towards Man United's goal.
So for me, I think whatever the on-field decision was given should have stood. Because that is not clear and obvious, and I don't think the lines drawn are definitive. I don't think the point in which they freeze the frame is definitive.
Totally agree.
And for me, all it's done is just take, and it's not an excuse, and we shouldn't harp on about it too much. That has ruined the game. Like, they've ruined a great comeback, but it has a little bit. I mean,
let us know in the comments, was the VAR decision correct? Or should we have just let Coventry make the comeback of the century? Covstanbul is what I heard it called.
I mean, if they put the graphics out there and there's still debate about it, then it's not clear.
Facts.
Then it's not definitive.
Right, and so Man United ended up getting off of an absolute calamity, goes to penalty, 3-3. But just before we go to penalties, I want to talk about the fact that Coventry had 18 shots this game. And do you know why that's an important stat? That is more shots in a game than they've had all season in the Championship. So against big Man United, who we've said are probably one of the worst footballing teams in the English pyramid right now, They have let Coventry had more shots than they've had all season. That is Man United.
They just that,
and obviously
like,
there's momentum. After, then, like, that, blah, blah, blah,
after they scored their third goal, they switched off, and it was lack of game management.
Yeah, so
it
bad.
Was just a complete lack of respect for your opposition. And Coventry had a 20-minute spell where they made Man United pay, really. And that was it.
100%.
And that was
anyway,
it.
Anyway, went to penalties. And heartbreak for Coventry because yeah, two players that I thought were really good in Ben Sheaf and Callum O'Hare. Two players that... No, we didn't have Ben Sheaf in our combined 11, but we had Callum O'Hare in our combined 11. Two players that were had really... Especially Ben Sheaf, I thought he was probably man of the match. Both of them missed their penalties. And Hoyland scored to... win the tie for Man United. He ran towards the Man United fans, turned around, none of his boys were following him, apart from one dickhead, Anthony, who turned to the Coventry players, all of whom are absolutely heartbroken, and this dickhead is cupping his ears like this to the Coventry players who are a tier below them, who have just come back from 3-0 down, and this wanker thinks he's done a madness.
Mate, you come on the pitch, yeah, you can see three goals of Coventry.
He thinks he's so good that he's cupping his ears against these guys who have just absolutely embarrassed their whole club.
He didn't even take a penalty.
No.
He is the definition of a fucking dickhead.
Mate, he is such
Mate,
a...
Mate, I hope that in his next game he gets two-footed and his career's over. I very rarely would
wish for a career
but
ender.
But that is disgusting behaviour.
Mate, he's a wanker.
Because a lot of the Man United players actually showed a lot of class.
Yeah.
Instead of
Harry
running
Max.
Over and celebrating, yeah. they went and they consoled those commentary players, yeah? Which is what you do. Because there is,
yeah.
they have no pride in winning that because that is complete disgrace of a game.
100%.
To be 3-0 up, if they were 3-0 up and they saw it out to the end, celebrate all you yeah. want because that's a good performance. You've done what you were meant to do. But you've let slip a 3-0 lead and that is embarrassing. I saw Harry Maguire in a post-match conversation say, we did what we needed to do. We got it over the line. Mate, you've dropped three goals in 20 minutes to Coventry. You left slip a 3-0 lead. What do you mean? Are you not embarrassed?
To be fair, I think Harry Maggs was all right in his post-match. He did say that it was like, we weren't good enough today. And I think Bruno did the same. But you can tell the difference in like composure. Those two guys are just like, they're aware of the situation.
They know where they are.
The gravity of what they've kind of let slip and then luckily get over the line. Whereas people like Anthony, people like Hoyland.
I don't mind Hoyland anymore.
Yeah,
like, he scored the winning penalty. He's done his job. Anthony, though, what did he do this entire game? He came off the bench, saw three goals go in the back of his net, potentially a fourth, and didn't even take a penalty. Didn't even step up.
And then you got Ten Hag in the post-match. I think one of the reporters goes, you narrowly avoided embarrassment. What are your thoughts? And he was like, I don't see this as an embarrassment. I see this as an achievement. And obviously, back-to-back FA Cup finals is good in theory. And no, not even in theory. That is good. But
let's look at the context
mate, the
of
manner
it.
Is dry.
Let's look at the context of it a little bit because it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It's like...
Take a long, hard look at yourself, yeah? Because I guarantee there's one Man United player on more money than all the Coventry team combined.
100%.
Because it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Ten Hag is a master of kind of like avoiding context when he gets asked about his games. He's always like, oh, it was an all right result or we got a point here. But you never really get the context from him that you were like 3-0 up and bottled it or... Like in the Brentford one, you never really get the context that you were 1-0 up
Mate,
in the 95th.
This is me
and you
on
let
FM. I'm throwing the ball. I'm throwing the water bottle.
Like the Chelsea game, you never really get the context that you were ahead and then let it two goals in the 90th minute. He always kind of just kind of slips that context out of the discussion. And
it's like as soon as the game's over, he's just focused on the next game.
100%.
Where it's like, where's your review here? Come on, like yeah. Seriously, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
So what does this mean for Ten Hag, Luke? I saw a lot of discussion saying that, like, no matter the result...
Just keep him in.
Yeah.
Just keep him in.
That's good.
Because Man United should suffer. And they will. And some of their fans as well are just embarrassing to the club. Some of the way... I mean, they were leaving when Coventry's fourth goal went in. That was disallowed. Leaving the stadium, but to get home early.
You probably live in London anyway,
you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, that's so embarrassing. I saw people on TikTok, Man United fans on TikTok. Oh, I've left the stadium. I've left
Can't
the stadium.
Get back in.
Mate, you're on the tube, yeah? Embarrassing. It's absolutely ridiculous. You've got these fans, Man United fans, yeah, sat streaming, reacting to the game. And the way they talk about it is that they're so oblivious to any football that exists without outside the Premier League.
Mm.
It's embarrassing to watch. And you embarrass your club.
Luke's on one today.
Yeah, mate, it's ridiculous.
Right,
it's
let's move on to who they're playing in the FA Cup final. Like we said, it's a back-to-back FA Cup finals for Manchester United. And it's back-to-back FA Cup finals for Manchester City as well, as they beat Chelsea 1-0 in a bit of a dreary affair on Saturday. Chelsea okay in the game. I've said this all season. Chelsea in periods look good. They look like a good team, but they lack a clinical edge. And that happened again today. You got Nicholas Jackson missing a few opportunities.
Should have had a hat-trick.
You got Cole Palmer missing a few, but you've got to let him off because he's absolutely flying.
He was by far the best player on that pitch.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah, he's so good.
And I don't know if they get man matched, but it should have been Cole Palmer.
I think it was Bernardo.
Although they hate giving it to people on the losing side. Yeah. Cole Palmer put up an Instagram just with a sigh, I think it was. Don't blame him.
Well, but do you remember a while ago when Tim Sherwood was doing a post-match and he goes up to Cole Palmer and he's like,
Do you need better players around you?
And everyone slaughtered Tim Sherwood. And obviously you can't say that to a player in that situation. But I think he is, and everyone probably is thinking that anyway, but he is onto something because Cole Palmer is just surrounded by dross, really.
Well, I mean, how many times has it been put on a plate for Nicholas Jackson?
Yeah.
And he's so infuriating to watch because he gets into great positions.
Yeah.
He's strong, he's powerful, he's good with his feet, he can be a little bit tricky where he needs to be, he battles away, gets into good positions, and he gets in front of goal, he's like Bambi, mate. He just has no idea what he's going to do.
He's like prime Danny Welbeck, mate.
You've got to be scared when you're facing Nicholas Jackson because you have no idea what he's going to do because he has no idea what he's going to do.
Could drop a hat-trick or could just drop like an absolute masterclass
If you're a keeper, yeah, how do you prepare to stop him shooting because you don't know where he's going to put it?
Yeah, if anything, you want him to have clear opportunities so that he'll bottle them.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's definitely one of those players, if he thinks too hard, he'll fuck it.
He needs just instinct. But yeah, I mean, Man City look tired. They dominated the game for the most part, but
they had 120 minutes against Real Madrid midweek, and then Pep was saying, "How is it that they've got the first game of the two?
They played the Saturday when the other semi-finalists didn't play on Wednesday."
Which I get,
100%.
120 minutes, and then a tough game against Chelsea. It's not ideal, and then I think they're playing again on Thursday
against Brighton.
So the schedule is a bit mad, but all I'm going to say is we should never, ever feel sorry for Manchester City because they're the biggest scumbag club, bar Chelsea, maybe.
I mean, you can rotate players. You have a plethora of players.
Yeah.
You're not forced to pick the same start. And this is why winning a treble or winning competitions is so difficult because you have to be there till the end.
Yeah.
If you want to win three trophies and the finals are all at the end of the season, you have to play all the games.
If you don't want that privilege, throw one of the tournaments and then get your rest.
I 100% I agree with the fact that why they'd be scheduled to play on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And I think it was to do with something with policing.
Oh.
Or something like that. I have no idea. But at the end of the day, the schedulers need to do better, but you can't be complaining. I mean, you've got more money than anyone in the world and you're playing a semi-final at Wembley. What are you moaning for?
100%.
What are you moaning for?
And that rounds up by saying we've got a Manchester derby in the final again.
Yeah. You wait 100 years for one and then two come in 2 years.
Mental. It was funny because when the draws got done and I was like, this is probably the best draw because it'll end up being like if Man United beat Coventry is a decent final rather than Man City versus Coventry in the final.
Mm-hmm.
Man City would probably just absolutely batter Coventry.
Yeah.
But they'll probably absolutely batter Man United.
I hope for nothing less.
So
watch their Man United fans travel down there, 3-0 down at 30 minutes, and they can get the train home early again.
Love it. Right, let's move on to the Premier League. We had some weekend action. Obviously, it wasn't a full schedule because we had some FA Cup games.
From VAR howlers in the FA Cup to VAR and PGMOL howlers in the Premier League.
We've got head loss like I've never seen.
Just out the gate, yeah? What the fuck happened? Because there are three almost, we're talking obviously about Everton 2, Nottingham Forest 0, but in that game, Ashley Young has got away with murder.
You see, he tweeted this morning,
"Cry me a river.
Cry me a river, Justin Timberlake."
Yeah.
My guy's on a wind-up.
I like that though.
Yeah, so do I.
But he's gotten away with something naughty because there are three clear and I think maybe one is debatable, but there are two clear and obvious penalties for me.
Yeah, so bad.
The first, I think the tackle on Reina.
Yeah, from behind. Kind
in
of
the handball.
Yeah.
Blatant. And I think the third, is it the third one, Callum Hudson-Odoi? Well, I think for me, Ashley Young might just be in front of him.
Yeah.
But anyway, the fact that two of them didn't get turned into penalties is clear.
So Nottingham Forest are under the impression that one of the VAR officials is a Luton fan, and that
Are they still talking about Stuart Atwell?
I don't know.
I think that's who they're referring to. And for me, they put out a statement post the game.
I'll put it up on the screen, but read it out.
Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. NFFC will now consider its options.
42 million views that tweet.
I mean, that's probably on over 100 million now. But
Jesus Christ.
I can't condone the club doing that. That is it. And I understand the intention.
It is the definition of a relegation 6.0. And this could be the difference between relegation and not relegation.
This is fine if it's a player coming out.
But to
question the integrity of those in charge of VAR.
Yeah.
As a football club on your social media platforms is a giant moment of head loss.
Yeah, that is not your job is to stay
impartial,
obviously back your team,
yeah,
but you're a media and footballing corporation. You can't be doing tweets like that. Leave the tweets like that for us.
I mean,
I'll do that tweet.
If they had just left out that middle bit, we warned PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan.
No, you got to leave out all of it, mate.
Which is just, and if you just said three poor decisions, three penalties not given, we can't accept this. We're going to consider our options. But like, what options do you have?
What are you considering?
So, and I can't remember who it was. Was it Carragher or Neville? One of them. They were just shouting about what are the options. You got to stop saying what are the options, because the options, are you going to replay the game? No, it's not going to happen. That'd be stupid. Are they going to give you 3 points? No. So what are your options? What are your options here?
And then an interesting part of the debacle as well is that recently Nottingham Forest hired Mark Clattenburg as like a PGMOL refereeing liaison.
Yeah.
And Neville came out and said that
he has to resign.
He should resign. If not,
for, like,
he
the
is
integrity of
yeah. He
refereeing.
Is pretty much like agreeing that there's a VAR conspiracy.
But he's called out PGMOL for Forest before.
So
and
it's
Forest,
all going
this
on.
Season. The only other team I can think of who've had continuous bad decisions against them is probably Wolves. Gary O'Neill's Wolves.
Every team has it. Obviously, it's a heat of the moment thing.
It 100% is. This is a relegation point. Forest now, I think, sit 1 point above Luton in 17th. They obviously got their appeal ongoing for the 4 points they were deducted, but that might not be done until the end of the season.
100%. Let's talk relegation battle. So Palace, absolutely dominant 5-2 win over West Ham. We said last week that they need to kind of watch their backs because they could get drawn in. I think they're pretty much fine, especially now that Eze and Elise are both back fit. They
cooked up West Ham. I think they were four goals up within like 26 minutes or something. And yeah, Eze doing it at the right time, maybe making a late run for that Euro squad.
100%.
I mean, we're seeing like a couple of Englishmen fall off a little bit, but that 10 position is so stacked.
Yeah. And then another team that we said might get sucked in, a Brentford. They absolutely decimated Luton 5-1.
Yeah,
and I think they're pretty fine now. Both of those teams are 6 points and 5 points clear of Everton, with four games left. So I think they're both fine. I think it is between Everton, Nottingham Forest and Luton for that final relegation spot.
Yeah,
and it's tight.
Yeah, for me,
it's
Palace tight. And Brentford are both clear. I think Everton will be all right.
Same. I think it's Forest or Luton.
I mean, Forest unlucky, I guess, but they didn't score any goals. That would have been from open play anyway. So and yeah, Luton,
I just think
Luton though, that I mean, one win in six.
Are Burnley going to get out of it? Because Burnley won 4-1 on the weekend.
They look miles better.
I'd say out of the three teams, they're the ones in the best run of form at the moment, Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, one loss in six.
So
two wins.
Could the Great Escape be on?
And is it just too little too late?
I don't know. Let us know in the comments down below. Of the three, Nottingham Forest, Luton and Burnley, what two are going down with Sheffield United?
16 points,
mate. It's rough. It's rough down there.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just a little bit too late for Burnley. They're making this like charge at the wrong time. It's too.
You love to see it. Makes it interesting.
It does.
If you want any discounted football gear, use our code BoardRaw10 at Classic Football Shirts to get yourself 10% off. Yeah. All the links are in the bio.
Click the referral link. We get a little kickback from it, and it helps us out.
Follow us on all our socials. We've been pumping out the TikTok content. We put all sorts of exciting stuff over there. Recently, we've been doing combined 11s, which seem to be going down well. So
yeah,
if you want to
check
beef us on TikTok, do it.
Yeah, we're going to drop a Chelsea-Arsenal combined 11 for the match. So if you want to get over, give us your thoughts and opinions on what is definitely going to be a howler of a combined 11, get over there.
Yeah, 100%. Subscribe, follow us on all our socials, and get ready, because as the end of the season comes around, we got so much goddamn content.
The schedule is nuts.
So yeah, don't forget to subscribe, tell your mates,
yeah, and comment down below. Let us know, has VAR ruined the game? Should the big six separate, make their own Super League? Who knows, who cares anymore? It's been Board Draw episode number 94, and it's live
up the Cov.